Disney posts record high revenue profits in 2024. They lose $130 million to a hurricane. There's some optimism regarding the opening of Epic Universe in Disney World as well. And other news. That's today on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everyone, to episode number 475. We're only 25 away. I'm your host for this week. My name is John. I'm joined, as always, by my faithful co-host. That would be Adam.
What's up, everybody?
What's up, indeed?
I made beignets tonight.
Oh, yes.
From
a Tiana recipe.
Well, I guess it's technically the Port Orleans recipe. They sent me something in the mail that was like four recipes, and they had like stencils that you can do different, like the powdered sugar, for example, for the beignets was obviously Tiana's crown, like the logo, I guess, for her restaurant.
Because, I mean, beignets and Tiana is now synonymous with one another.
Exactly. And actually, they turned out really good. You know, I'd never made beignets before.
And just to let you guys know, tonight I am wearing my Horizon shirt that says, "If you can dream it, we can do it."
Yeah.
Back when Disney used to think that way, not the earth is moving, but it's really not.
Yeah, right. The earth is rotating.
Yeah, I was just about to say.
Barely.
I guess Josh DeMauro was using a technicality there. It's like, the earth is moving. Well, yeah, it's always moving.
Yeah.
They
also had a recipe for the Jack Jack's cookie num nums.
Cookie.
Yeah.
Num num cookie. Cookie.
Yeah, exactly. I just wanted to hear you say that.
Is that what it was?
But no, they really did.
So you brought that up. Is there any other recipes that you would like to share with us? Or is it a full book?
No, it's just four recipe cards. That was the cookie num num was one. The sugar cookie from Chef Mickey's of all places was one. What was the fourth one? Gosh, no. Oh, it was a tres leche cake with like cocoa,
I guess. Oh,
But it was from Epcot. So I think it was one of the festivals because it was like a plant-based tres leche cake.
But of course.
Yeah. But anyway.
Anyway, you know, they were releasing information regarding, you know, the end of the
quarterly earnings.
Well, their fiscal year ended in September, right? End of September.
Right.
So their full fiscal year earnings are now, I guess, finalized.
For 2024 fiscal year.
And somehow or another, Disney Experiences Theme Park Division posted record high revenue and profits in 2024.
Big shock.
Although the attendance would not suggest this is true. So tell me, Adam, how do you think they possibly made this money?
Well, I mean, I think that's what they've kind of said that their goal was to make it less crowded, but also...
Who said this? Who originally said this?
Gosh, was it Chapek?
Yes, it was.
I feel like it was Chapek, right? To reduce the crowds.
So, yes. So is he gone? Are we sure he's gone? I'm trying to tell the difference.
Well, I
mean, I can park for free.
It's a winning formula.
So that's the difference.
Right.
All we did was change the bobs and just make it a bob that everybody already liked. And then I guess he just gets away with doing the stuff the other bob was doing without any problem. That's all I see. So, yeah.
Yeah, right now, honestly, they threw a bone towards, you know, guess that first, within the first 6 months of Bob coming back, Iger coming back. And that's it. Everything else is kind of went back to business as usual, to jacking up prices, making you pay for more things that used to be free and whatnot.
The only thing is now this Bob has a what's the term, a slicker tongue. He's more of a silver tongue.
He's more of a politician,
right? You know,
a much better one than
silver tongue.
Chapek was for sure.
So you're saying he's a better liar.
Okay. Yeah. Better delivery. Obviously, we already know DeMauro was a good liar because he told us ground dirt was moving already.
Right.
They hadn't even filed permits yet.
That, you know, that was, as you, we, I think we discussed a pre-show, that was a lot like, you know, he was saying what I told you was true from a certain point of view.
Yeah.
They've learned a lot by buying Star Wars, apparently.
Right, exactly. We like figuratively that. Moved dirt, but not actually.
Yes.
Not literally.
And I brought up that, you know, because we were watching the Pirates movies recently, I brought up how Barbossa said that about, like, when he said that Elizabeth would go free, right? And he said, it was you that failed to specify when or where.
Yeah.
So it's all in the details.
It's all both movies, Star Wars and Pirates, like all of them. It's hidden. Yeah. Let's find meaning messages for the future of Disney from these.
They were able to create these products, well, at least one of them, because they used it in real life.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Maybe the jar of dirt is another symbol of, I've got a jar of dirt. Is that the dirt you moved?
Yeah.
Put it in a jar?
Yes. He's like, well, I went out there with a shovel and I picked up some dirt and put it in a jar. And it's constantly with me, so it's moving.
Yeah. Right.
And guess what's inside it?
Nothing, actually.
Is what inside it? The plans for Villain's Land, I guess, is inside the jar of dirt.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It's buried in the jar of dirt.
Right.
Or it's the heart of the Disney fans. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Stab the heart.
They step on it like every day. But...
Anyway, all in good fun.
Yeah.
All in good fun. We're the ones getting our hearts trampled on it. Thumped on just as much. Anyway, back to this story.
Right.
About them experiencing, you know, record profits, earnings.
Despite flat attendance.
Yes. Mm. The division includes theme parks, cruises, and more. I'm not sure what the "and more" is supposed to be. But they posted a record $34.1 billion in top-line revenue, which is a 5% increase over 2023. Operating income for the year was $9.3 billion, a 4% increase from last year.
Mm-hmm.
In quarter four, it increased by $0.1 billion or 1%, and the experiences revenue did. The operating income of $1.7 billion was a decline of $0.1 billion or 6% compared to prior year quarter, which seems a little strange. Which one would the Lightning Lanes fall under? Would it fall under operating income or experiences? Probably experiences, wouldn't it? Who knows?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Domestic parks and experiences operating income increased in quarter four from the prior year. It says driven by higher guest spending. Wonder how that happened. Partially offset by higher expenses and costs related to new guest offerings driven by Disney Cruise Line.
Hmm.
So,
well, I think that's what they're trying to do is every possible way they can get money out of people, they're going to try to do. I think that's why Premier Pass happened. And you know, it's like these people have a lot of money and they spend a lot of money. So let's see if they'll spend some more.
But I mean, it just seems so obviously like shameless, I guess, is the word to put it now.
They've said this for a long time is, you know, they wanted to lower the crowd level, but in order to offset that, they got to increase prices.
Or well, doing it the way they're currently doing it, they may lower it further than they really want to.
It's interesting to see their thinking about Epic Universe, which we'll get to that.
Yes.
But
it's funny that they would even bring it up, truthfully, but
yeah.
I don't know if we would call this a snafu, but apparently they prematurely deployed the digital map showing the phase one closure of Dinoland. Did they retract that already? I didn't even look.
I'll look right now and see.
Yeah. So basically, because that's supposed to take effect on January the 13th.
Yeah, it's back to where it was.
It's back to the way it was? Okay. Yeah. Triceratops Spin will go down. Mm-hmm. Of course, Primeval World has been gone.
Yep.
And Dinosaur will hang around for a while longer.
Yep.
We're not exactly sure when it's going to close. They haven't really given a date on that.
Yep. Nor have they given a date on Rivers of America or Tom Sawyer Island or anything else.
Right.
You know, the riverboat and all that.
I feel like they're going to give a little more time on some of those things.
Yeah. obviously they, you know, that story too about Vinland's Land, we'll get to that too, but it sounds like if it's going to be very, very soon, you should start seeing this stuff happen right after Big Thunder goes down.
One would think.
They haven't said yet, which is a little surprising because they usually give guests a good month or two to like say their goodbyes once they know something's closing.
Yes.
They're not going to wait till after spring break, surely. This thing is not going to open till like 2040 if they...
By then it'll be completely... There'll be like Android guests at that point. Walt Disney World, 2040.
Possibly.
I don't know. I was referencing something I heard. AI's advancements is what I'm basically what I was talking about. Because it does so well with, you know, what you tell it to do now, so...
Yeah. Can virtually visit.
They have one of those. And you can virtually visit the past Disney, remember? I forgot what the name of that thing was called, but...
Yeah, it's not quite...
Or past Epcot, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Planet Coaster 2 is out, so you can create your own...
Planet Coaster 2?
Yes.
What is that? Yeah. Is that like, I'm out of the loop on a lot of those things. Is that similar to a roller coaster tycoon type?
Yeah, it's like the next step forward in that, like... Planet Coaster, gosh, that came out in like 2016, but the new Planet Coaster 2 just came out, and they have a Guardians of the Galaxy coaster in it. Like, it looks exactly the same.
Yeah.
So you can build the rotating, like it spins and all that. So they've copied all that stuff.
Just to put a bow on what we were talking about.
Yeah.
With the revenue increase, I think we all know that the reason why that's up is because of mainly... how much they make off of Lightning Lanes, let's be honest.
And increasing the price all the time of it.
Yep. Because, you know, because they can. I mean, because there's apparently not a breaking point, it doesn't seem, when it comes to this. So, I mean, I know there's going to be at some point. They've got to be at some level where people will stop purchasing it or just say that's enough, you would think. Then again, I've said that about some other things and it never happened. So,
right.
What it's going to be is it's going to be to a point where people who want to go can't afford it. So they're just not going to be able to. And then the people who can't afford it are bored with it. But quite possibly.
Yeah.
So there's a fine line there that I think they're closer to than they realize right now. I believe it's a bit arrogant, quite frankly.
I mean, what will happen, though, when they actually hit that number is then they'll try to just get attendance higher again. They'll let more people into the parties and they'll stop the pass holder reservation system.
So there is a Disney experience in which you don't have to worry about having too many people in because the capacity is literally limited. And that is a cruise line. So... Yeah. Disney Treasure arrived, by the way. Did you see that when it came in?
I saw like a picture or two that people posted, but...
Well, it just so happens I got a notification. Resort TV One was actually there.
To watch it come in.
Mm-hmm. And they were making an announcement. They were going to get to tour the ship. But I don't think I went back and saw that. I think they've already done that, actually. I could be wrong. Nice. But they're going on a cruise... I don't know if it's the inaugural one or not, but it's in early December, so it's one of the first ones on the Treasure, which is not long. So basically, it came into Port Canaveral. I'm trying to figure out why they did this. It came into Port Canaveral, but it's going to New York to be christened. So I don't even know why they bothered bringing it to Port Canaveral. I guess because they did that with all the other ones.
Maybe.
Yeah. But yeah, so it has arrived.
Nice.
Disney has announced that the honorary role of godparent of the ship has been given to the 200,000 cast members, crew, Imagineers, and employees around the world. After traveling more than 5,000 nautical miles from Eemshaven, Netherlands, and days without land in sight, Port Canaveral was a welcome view. The crew gathered on the open decks and whistled, cheered, and roared with delight as lights appeared in the distance. So... Mm. But yeah, the actual christening is going to be taking place on the 19th, and it will be streamed live from New York. So, just so you know that.
That's cool. Is that where you have to christen ships now? Is that like a maritime tradition?
I don't know. It's So basically, it's taken the place in Port Canaveral of the fantasy, in the sense that for the last decade plus, before the Wish came in, Port Canaveral, you had your seven-night cruises were the fantasy. Traditionally, now they did a couple of other things in the middle. Mm-hmm. But your traditional was it did two different seven-night cruises on the fantasy, and then they did your three and four nights on the Dream, which that got moved to the Wish is currently doing those three and four night cruises, and the Treasure is going to do the 7-night rotation between the Eastern and Western Caribbean cruises from Port Canaveral. And I'm not entirely sure where the Fantasy is moving. I think Miami. I think it's joining the Dream there. It's kind of like they move them up.
Yeah.
You know, like the old ones go, like it's going in the rotation that the Wonder and the Magic used to do. And now the Wonder and the Magic are doing international time cruises. So I don't know. It's like you graduate, I guess, to the, each ship as they gets old enough, it graduate to the next type of cruise. I can't figure that one out. It's like they always start in the same place though. They always start in Canaveral, I guess, because they want the Disney World goers to experience the new ships.
Yeah.
So
you can see, probably gets them a lot of exposure too.
Yes. Yes.
Which is helpful. I want to do one of those Alaskan cruises and like.
Yeah. That's one of my bucket list items eventually to do.
Yeah.
But yeah. That would be very nice.
And I've been looking at the European ones like out of Barcelona or something, but
it's probably a little on the expensive side.
Yeah. Just a little. Yes. But it would be fun. Do they still do that thing where they like waste a good bottle of champagne smashed on a ship or whatever? Do they still do that?
I'm sure they do. I don't know how good of a bottle it is, but
do you use a cheap bottle for that, or is it?
I really don't know.
I don't know.
I have no idea. It's supposed to be bad luck if the bottle doesn't break, right? Whenever you do it,
like
you sling it up against it and it doesn't break.
So maybe they use like the prop sugar glass or whatever, so make sure it breaks.
Make sure that it breaks. Nowadays, they probably, I've never heard of one not breaking in recent years.
Yeah. Well, sling it really hard. Anyway, I was just curious, they still do that.
But the Treasure is the one I'd love to see upcoming. It just won't be long before we get to see more about it, but that's the one that has the Haunted Mansion themed bar in it. So that would be really cool.
Indeed.
Among other things, I can't remember all the features right now. We've covered it once before, and I'm sure we'll cover it back once again once we get to see it, right, through other people's eyes.
Right. But speaking of bars, didn't they release new concept art for the pirate bar at Magic Kingdom?
I didn't see that one. I must have missed that.
I saw that somewhere. That may have been an older story, but anyway, it just made me think of it. I'm looking forward to that because it is opening next year. So since we've been talking about pirates.
You know, one thing that could affect your cruise if you're going on one, and that's a hurricane.
A hurricane? Yeah.
Yes. Walt Disney World lost $130 million, it seems, due to both Hurricanes Milton and Helene. They attributed that in the earnings call as well, basically saying that it impacted them by approximately $130 million, which sounds like a lot.
It does. But is that mostly canceled reservations or damage repair and stuff like that? I feel like
The thing is, it's always with their earning calls, it doesn't really give you a good breakdown. It's whatever they decided is pretty much the loss, whatever they decide the losses are for the most part.
Yeah, I think they calculate it based on so many people canceled, so many people rescheduled and deferred their trips for a later date or something.
So just to kind of sum it up, it's a combination of things. Of course, it was forced to close the theme park for a day, so that costs money, especially now that people were doing lightning lanes.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
So they lost on ticket sales.
For sure.
But there was also some damage, mostly the usual stuff, down trees, stuff like that.
The roof of the Polynesian, apparently.
Yeah, that one was one of the more substantial ones, I think, that they had to endure. And part of that reason is probably just because over time, it just costs more to repair things.
Yeah.
The damage that was done by Hurricane Ian in 22 was only about $65 million. And Matthew in 16 was about $40 million.
Right.
22, not that. And there's only 2 years difference, right? So I don't know. But Ian also wasn't that big of a deal, if I recall, for Disney World anyway, right? So
yeah. I mean, Milton went right over it, but.
Right. So yeah, Milton was probably came closer than one has done to them in some time.
Yeah.
Several years.
Indeed.
Now, going along with these stories of the revenue, it did say that attendance was flat for the fiscal year of 2024, which ended in September. Domestic attendance was up just 1%, which is a 5% decrease year over year in 2023. Internationally, it was up 9%. I think a lot of those still were not being open the year before, though, right? Or experienced some downtime. Didn't Shanghai still, like, it still wasn't fully open yet, I don't think?
Yeah, there
are. Sometimes, like, they had some closure.
Closed a few times.
Yeah. Or some limited ones.
Yeah.
However, hotel bookings were flat in 2024, it says, domestically at 85% occupancy. Well, you wouldn't know that by the way they do the website. You would have thought they were full all the time.
Yeah, there was, yeah.
It's interesting. I don't know why they purposefully do that. It's like, yeah. I feel like, see, that's the other thing that I felt like changed temporarily. The availability went differently, but then I think Iger decided, hey, Chapek was onto something here once again. Because it seems like every time you're looking for something that's discounted, it's always deluxe, right?
That's available?
Yeah.
It's
always something that's going to cost more.
Right.
It's like, hey, it's normally $1,000. You can get it for $900.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Yeah.
Knowing good and well, there's no way that, say, for instance, Pop Century is at 100% capacity. I mean, there's no way.
Yeah. It does make you wonder where that is. And maybe it's just that other sites sometimes have some inventory, like an Expedia.
Well, that's true. I mean, they do some, but it's not, there is no way that's
yeah,
big
can't
of
be
difference.
A ton. Yeah. I don't know. It's weird what they do.
And I don't know what their relationship is with Expedia these days. I mean, I think it still is out there. They're the only travel site that I can think of in which I've seen their rooms on. I'm sure there's others, though. So I'm sure they have to,
probably,
you know, give a certain percentage.
Right. But they also give a little percentage to the actual discounted rate. So,
right.
But then even still, if you do a search without the discount on, you still usually don't find a whole lot. So,
and the other thing too, this has happened recently with the website. Like, you'll search dates, it'll say nothing is available if you just search all. You have to get specific first.
Yeah.
Then you can go to broad.
I mean,
it's like, that is just the most ridiculous thing I've heard of in my life.
Yeah.
And it seems to be on purpose because it happens all the time now. It's like every single time you try to search now, it does it that way.
Right. Just to vent some more about that, I was looking at changing my resort and wanted to see. So, you know, just instead of modifying the reservation, I just wanted to like do a brand new search just to see what else
That's
was
what
out
I do.
There. And I went through the endless loop of, okay, I log in to see what the other rates are, you know, Passholder D23, Disney Plus. And then it goes back to the homepage, and then you do the search again, and then it doesn't show me the rate, so I have to click to log in again, and then I log in again, and then it goes back to the homepage, and then I go do the search again, doesn't show me the rate, so I have to go back and...
Here's what I have to do. Okay, so you search your initial, shows you literally like no pricing, right? You pick one of the ones that's on that list, and then it gives you the options between room or whatever the discount is or package, right? And you can choose one of those and then go back, right? And you start seeing these things, right? So you see the ones that are discounted are not necessarily the ones that are only available. So you go back and do regular room and you find more at their rack rate. So they're obviously not discounting every room, even though they're not full.
Right.
I don't know what they're trying to accomplish with this.
The only thing
I can figure is they have probably a lot of people that go through travel agents nowadays, and they have to do all this work for them now. Although I do, as I understand it, going through a travel agent for a cruise is actually better to do these days for Disney because you get things like onboard credit going through a travel agent. That's what I'm going to do the next time I do one. I'm just going to go through a travel agent.
Agreed. Yeah, it's actually certain things it's nicer to let a travel agent do for you. And then certain things I just would rather do myself. But like cruises, I think travel agent would be great. Because a lot of times, like you said, there's incentives that they can give you that you can't,
right, that you can't get on your own.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
To finish up on that story, theme park admissions revenue was up 7% year over year, which again is probably says admissions revenue. It's because the tickets were increased because they it was up freaking 7% year over year, basically because of how much they charge per ticket.
So they're showing they can still grow revenue even with less attendance. So they don't have to be
right because
one.
They're charging. To $11.1 billion in 2024 from $10.4 billion in 2023. 5% attributable to an increase in average ticket prices and 2% increase in attendance, which is weird because I thought they said the attendance was down.
Well, they said it was kind of flat. That's all.
Well, it said it was up just 1% overall, so maybe I can't figure that one out, how they figure that number. Theme park admissions are the largest subsegment of the experiences line of business, followed by hotels and cruises, and theme park food and merchandise is next, which that was $8 billion in theme park food and merchandise. Wow. You know, for the longest time, the food actually stayed like a pretty reasonable level, but I don't think it is now.
And I think it's getting there, depending on what it is, yeah.
Yeah, so basically, what I gather from that is Disney is basically taking the complaint of the parks being overcrowded and saying, okay, we'll fix this by charging more in certain areas to help offset that.
Yep.
That way we still make our money on fewer people.
Yep.
Which I guess is kind of like the way to do it, truthfully, but it prices some people out that were loyal.
Yeah. So it kind of makes you think, like, is it, because I know we did complain about the crowds sometimes in the past.
Sure.
So it's like, is this better? Because, I don't know, there's times where I've been and I'm like, okay, I like that it's not as busy or crowded all everywhere you go. But then it's like, but I'm spending way more.
Well, I think another thing is, you know, it's like things have shifted. And I know we've talked about this before. Once upon a time, the film and television were the big money makers. They drew the most money, and the theme parks and resort was kind of like a novelty, I guess, in a way. Not that it didn't generate revenue, it did, but it was still not the main money maker. It was the film and television,
right?
And I think that's kind of it been surpassed really by the parks and resorts. They're the money makers now, and film and TV has kind of become more of a liability, really.
Changing, right, it's changing so much to where people don't want to go to the theater as much, unless it's a really good movie.
Well, there's been a lack of quality stories for the most part. There really has.
Yeah,
I mean, that's not just my opinion either, folks, by the way. It's reflected in the numbers.
Well, in general. Okay. Yeah, in general. But I will say Disney, you know, Inside Out 2 is probably one of the best ones they've done in a while. And it was totally worth going to see it for me.
Mm-hmm. I thought theaters. So.
Although I got to say, my movie theater experience has gotten worse because the place that I liked to go pre-COVID was, you know, one of those where you could get food and drinks and all this stuff. And they would deliver it to you. And even that has gotten way worse because the food quality is horrible. And you have to order it on an app now instead of, you know, the way it used to be because there's less people working there because they're not making as much money. Anyway, so the experience is way worse than it used to be.
I noticed in my area, like we'll say post-COVID, right?
Yeah.
That food service industry was one of the things that really went down post-COVID. One thing I've noticed is interesting. It seems to have gotten somewhat better in the daytime at some of these places. But the nighttime, I don't know. I guess it's just people getting, it's hard to motivate now. I mean, not that it was never like the most glamorous thing in the world, even back in the day, but you did it because that's what you did. But it really seems like the service in a lot of places becomes lacking more in the evening than it does during the middle of the day. Like the fast food type places, more or less.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You see what I mean? I'm not talking about like restaurants. Although there might be a couple of examples you could throw in there that just aren't quite what they once were as well.
Possibly. Yeah. But, yeah, I'm trying to think specifically. There's something.
Can't think of an example. Yeah. Well, it probably becomes a little easier in higher populated areas because you have more to, you
there's
know,
more options.
Pool, more of a pool to choose from employee wise.
So, yeah, there's more options.
So probably you don't notice it as much as you do, like with the, yeah. You get further away from the main cities or the big cities.
But there's definitely, the movie industry has definitely changed a lot since before
COVID. Well, we've actually made a comment about how we can tell a difference over the years just in Disney, how that's changed. You have some good examples, but I mean, you didn't used to find as many poor examples, we'll say. No?
What do you mean? Like what?
And service. Like, you know.
Oh, right. Yeah, it's easier to find. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is, but we also live in a culture where we hyper-analyze stuff like this just so we can.
Well, maybe, but part of that, and again, we've discussed this on here before, part of that was Disney set a standard and now other places have kind of
caught up,
risen to that standard as well.
Or right? Surpassed in some.
Yeah, in some cases, but. Right. Or they're at least just as good because, you know, like I said, there was a time when they did set it and nobody else did. And I think I likened it to Tiger Woods when he came to golf, right? The competition level, he raised, how would you say it? I'm doing like Maui here at the moment. He elevated, probably the better way to say it, the level of competition in golf in general, right? So just the fact that he was that good made the others around him work a little harder or desire to be better.
And then he injured himself so many times that he can't compete anymore.
Right. Well, he's basically made it kind of what it is today. And now it's in that period where everybody's the same.
Yeah. Right. Everybody's got personal trainers and, you know, does everything. Yeah.
Or like everybody's swing is similar. There's a few homegrown swings out there, but not as many as there originally was.
Yeah.
Right. Like everybody's down to mechanics.
Yeah. We definitely were interested in golf during the best time because there's no standout right now. I mean, it's like there's a few, but there's nobody that's as dominating as Tiger was. Yeah, it was fun to watch.
This is true. That was a good era to see. But I mean, people can make arguments of that for Jack, for instance. That was before us that we didn't get to see much, right?
Right. Yeah,
same kind of thing. Those arguments. So every era has their hero, although I don't know what it is in golf at the moment. Although I don't know why we're on that. We're not a golf podcast.
Right.
Speaking of which, though, we do talk about things that in between here, but speaking of which, you know, the sport that really like fell off as far as popularity goes that it had about 20 years ago? NASCAR.
Oh, yeah. It's fallen.
Oh, yeah. Significantly. They keep changing things and it usually doesn't work out for the best. Anyway, speaking of that, this is a connection to Disney.
Yeah. All right, Disney.
Remember how we were staying at the Poly and I guess it was 2001, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The game room they had there, which no longer
Daytona.
Exists.
Yeah.
Well, not Daytona, that one. There was another one, you know, it was in the other room, the one that used to once upon a time be the snack bar way back when. You know, how they had a big, like they had an expanded room, game room basically.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they had the one racing game that I think was like had the roster from like 2000 or 2001 in it. I forgot what it was called. Do you remember it at all? We played it in there. Anyway, I only bring that up because I saw that gaming system in one of the local skating rinks here.
Wow.
That exact same machine. Yeah.
Huh.
That game, which is weird because that's like 23 years old or something like that now.
Yeah, I'd have to see the video that you'd had of the arcade to remind myself what it was. Isn't there a video?
Yeah. There may not be video of it. I just remember it because I remember we played it.
I remember the Daytona one, but.
Oh, yeah, that was a major one, too. But anyway.
Huh. That was a good one.
You have to remember, folks, this is kind of just, I just probably is just a between Adam and I type thing we're talking about here, but it's part of our memories of going to Disney, really. That was a big part of it.
You had to have coins.
Yes.
Just thinking about that.
That's another thing they don't do now is you have cards. And the only places in Disney that has arcades is Value Resorts.
Right.
No, there's some deluxes that have them, isn't there?
Yeah, there's still some arcades. I'm trying to think where.
Well, they don't have one at Poly at all, though. I mean, they took it out for, I don't even know what for.
So the arcade that was at Grand Floridian is now Gasparilla Island Grill. So they turned into the quick service restaurant. That was the arcade back in the day.
Well, no, I know Kingdom Lodge has one.
Okay.
I can tell you that for
a fact. Does the Contemporary still have one?
That's the thing. I don't know.
It used to be, but yeah, I don't think it's the arcade anymore. The
arcade's kind of a lost art.
Yeah. I mean, it's Coronado has one because I was in there recently.
Yeah, but isn't it filled with like all those games of like chance or whatever you want to call it? Like you can win a prize at every single one of them or tickets?
No,
there was a few
that were.
None of them are just like with the objective of trying to win just the game, and that's all that mattered, right? You didn't. Nowadays, all of them, it seems you have to have another like a physical objective that you have to spend all your money on. It's almost like gambling.
Those claw machines are the worst, by the way. Anyway, yeah, or the almost like a slot machine. The number ones. Those were like
yes, that's what I'm saying. Everything.
Yeah.
At Great Wolf, everything there is like
right.
that.
Because it's not designed to win. I mean, it's not random. It's programmed.
So. But everything there is like for tickets or those claw machine type things or
right.
that one where they have a big prize, but you have to like, it like cuts the rope a little bit each time you do it.
I haven't seen
that one?
No, no.
Yeah. It's almost like you put your ticket, number of coins or whatever it is. It's a card you use, of course. And then basically there's this like almost like scissors kind of thing, but it moves a little closer and like cuts a little piece of thread off of this string that's holding the prize. And like, you know,
right.
There's no telling how much you have to spend to actually get that thing down if it was brand new.
Right. More than it's worth.
Yeah.
Is the goal. Wow.
So anyway, I don't really see much more I want to discuss.
Villain's Land? The backstory? Which wasn't much. I mean, they didn't give us much.
Well, we kind of mentioned it earlier, so.
Well, the specific quote I have right here is.
Go ahead.
A mysterious spell has been cast, summoning all villains from every realm. In this land, the heroes, they don't come to save the day, and there might not be a happily ever after.
You got to say that in epic movie guy voice.
Yeah.
Supposed to say it like that.
Sure. But the concept, is this a new concept art too, this one? There's clearly a coaster that's going to be here.
Yes, and it looks as though it's going to be Maleficent themed.
Yeah. It looks like a Briar coaster.
Splash Mountain?
Yeah, I know. They're re-bringing
Briar
it
Path?
In coaster form. And I'm sure the other one will be like a dark ride, right? Because that's what they do, but.
Could be. Yeah, it seems to be they do thrill ride. It's like it's almost like an A and a B, so to speak, right? Like there's the top tier attraction and there's a secondary attraction that's usually not like too bad, but it's not the same level as the first one, right?
Yeah, you mean like a Rise and a Smuggler's Run? Because
yeah, like Rise is obviously the top attraction and Smuggler's Run is the secondary. They're both good.
I wish they would update Smuggler's Run because I could have swore they told us before it opened that there would be multiple like missions.
I'm still waiting on how I performed in the game to
right, like following your hand. Yeah.
Like for people to comment about that.
Right. I'm tired of stealing Coaxium.
I don't know. Just the fact that it looks like you're in the Falcon, that still holds something to me.
It does, but they force you to concentrate on the screen so much, and all I want to do is like look around at the cockpit and pretend.
You don't have to. You could just let it go and let it bang into everything or not shoot it.
But there was DeMaro, I was going to say, he said very, very soon construction is going to happen.
Is this the second time or was that the first time?
This was recent. So this was not D23. This is like a new...
Which occurred in August?
Right. That was August. This is like recently.
So 3 months ago.
He said, I'm excited about a lot of projects, and I'm particularly excited about this one. I'm looking forward to breaking ground on this land, and we're going to do that very, very soon. Even though he said it was already dirt moving.
Right. So it's going to happen. You're going to break ground very soon, but they were already moving earth. So,
which is a Josh.
Right, exactly.
Is what you told us true from a certain point of view?
Yeah. But I would think, I mean, this Cars thing that no one seems to be that excited about, that's going to go where Rivers of America is, wouldn't they need to kind of build that first, or at least start building that first? Because the
entrance... That one's going to take a while.
Yeah. But I mean, Villains Land is going to take forever too. But to get to Villains Land, you got to kind of go past Haunted Mansion, right? It would make sense that Haunted Mansion is the entrance to the Villains Land.
Yeah.
So right now you'd be walking on water to go past Haunted Mansion. So you're going to have to fill that in and create an entry point.
Well, you could walk in the water, as we've established.
Well, sure, but they're obviously going to close Rivers of America first before they... I mean, they can be doing them simultaneously, obviously, but...
You would expect, if this is going to be happening very, very soon, then you would expect them to announce some sort of a closure involving the riverboat and Tom Sawyer Island.
Exactly. Because we already know Big Thunder's going down, and likely it's part of that, so...
And you have to think that at some point, they're going to have to bring the railroad down again, so... Make sure if you want to ride the railroad for the first time in a long time, even though it was already down a long time once before Tron.
Right. It makes you wonder if Villains Land will fit within the berm, so to speak, the figurative berm of the railroad track.
Well, maybe they could find a way. Maybe they're going to go under it again like they did with Pirates.
Well, it's harder to do in Florida to go under anything.
Well, they did. That's what they did in Florida.
Right, but it's just because it's built up so much. I mean, you can't dig down, so you got to go up first. And I don't
know. No, what I'm saying is Florida is where they did that.
Well,
they went under the road.
Right, but it's like Haunted Mansion and Disneyland goes under as well.
Yeah, wherever. And it actually goes down.
But you can actually dig in California and not hit water, so... That's what I'm trying to say. It was already 14 feet above ground, above the water table, whatever, above the old ground.
Above
so they could
go
down.
Or they could go over.
Go back up the waterfall, but we don't go back up the waterfall in Florida.
Like, well, the cars do, the boats do, but you go back, the way you go back up is on a conveyor belt, basically.
Yeah, like all pirates did back in the day.
I think the reason they do that, though, because the one in Florida is, like, way steeper. Like, they had to go almost straight up. Well, think about it. Think about how it's almost straight up that walkway, that moving walkway is. That's pretty, it's pretty steep, actually. I think that's why they made it moving, so that people didn't have to walk the whole thing. That steep? Would it be that deep?
Yeah. I don't know.
I think it's steeper than probably the lift at Disneyland, right? Or maybe it's about the same. Okay.
It's probably about the same. I don't know.
Or maybe they had less space to, like, in between. That's why they had to do it that way. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Either way.
I got to see this quote because the CFO is saying that Epic Universe is going to be positive for Disney.
Yes, that's what I was going to get to. I was kind of what I was going to last, because I thought we might talk more on this.
Yeah, okay.
A little bit.
I haven't read
the
quote
yet. It just sounds like such a... It's one of those things where they're saying this, like trying to make it be
right.
More than anything
so
else.
The stock price doesn't drop because of it.
Right. So the current CFO, Hugh F. Johnston, which I guess I've never even heard his name before.
Is he the Pepsi guy?
I don't think he is. Is he? He might be.
I thought he was the... Yeah, he's the Pepsi guy.
Okay.
The one from Pepsi.
I guess. Okay. Well, then I do know who he is, but I guess I just never really saw his name, but... was asked about Epic Universe and the impact it will have on Disney World. While analysts have predicted a dip of up to 1 million guests for Walt Disney World, Johnson painted a different picture. Or Johnston, excuse me. This is what he says. He says, regarding Epic, he didn't even call it Epic Universe. He just called it Epic.
Right, of course.
We did model that into our expectations for experiences outlook. As mentioned earlier, the early bookings that we have next summer are actually positive. So that's certainly a positive indicator.
More than
we
zero.
Also looked right.
What does that
we
mean?
Also looked at the history of other attractions and other parks opening up in Florida, and it's been beneficial for us. That is very much captured in the guide we provided. So the model guidance he's talking about was a 6-8% segment operating income growth compared to fiscal 2024. He says the model will suggest that growth will come in the second half of the year, which means next summer into early fall.
Yeah.
Apparently they plan on rolling out some offerings to summer like they've been doing, same as before, you know, they've been doing the discounts right. in the summer, which used to be the other way around. Actually, they do discounts of some kind. It seems like year round, doesn't it? I mean, it seems like it's almost most times of the year.
This is very few times. This year's the first time I'm going Thanksgiving week because there's a discount.
Right.
Which
so Thanksgiving
unusual.
Week was an exception. Christmas obviously is an exception.
Yeah, the Christmas week, but you can go all the way up to Christmas Eve, I think, now with a discount. And if Christmas Eve is your first night, you can still get the discount. I mean,
I think he's really trying to, what is it he's saying that they have experienced in the past when opening new attractions? Is he thinking of things like Harry Potter?
I guess, Harry Potter land? I'm guessing.
That's just a land. I mean, it was just an area.
Because
they practically mimicked.
Yeah, he's saying attractions and other parks opening, like Legoland helped them out. It's like, what's a new park since?
Peppa Pig? I mean, I'm trying to think of what parks he's talking about, because there hasn't been a new park, aside from the ones we just mentioned.
Right. Since opened, 2001.
Right. Like a major player like Universal hasn't opened one. They were the last one to open one when they opened Islands.
Yeah. In what, 99, right? When was that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
99. No one has opened one since then.
So they must be talking about things like Harry Potter or whatever, which did that really help them immediately? I don't know. I think they're just banking on the fact that more people will be coming to Orlando and therefore they'll drop by Disney as well. I think that's what their assumption is.
I could understand him saying that's been something in the past, but what you've got to remember is that Universal will now have three full theme parks.
Almost the equivalent of what Disney has. Yeah.
Right. They will now have three full theme parks and a water park, a very popular water park. I mean, it is for a little bit. Volcano Bay, I guess, has, from what I've seen, Volcano Bay is probably geared a little more to an older audience than is Typhoon and Blizzard Beach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is traditional with most things Universal.
Yeah.
Their rides are a little more geared toward the teen.
Right. A little bit older
audience.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, a lot of the stuff that Disney has offered in recent years, a lot of people have already done, and they're not really offering anything too much new while an entire theme park is going to be brand new, Universal-wise, right?
Right. Yeah.
And, of course, there's going to be closures taking place this year. So I'm trying to figure out where where the appeal is going to come.
Yeah. Well, people have limited resources, so they're not going to be able to they can't hit every Disney park and every Universal park too. Like, they're going to have to pick and choose. And time is really the resource that people have you have to spend 7 days. I would say, I would guess the average length of most people's trips are probably 5, maybe.
Or less in some cases.
Yeah.
They start having to fit what they can or fit more in fewer days what they do.
Right. So while it may happen where people come down to visit Universal and then hop over to Disney, there might be less people though that used to spend 4 days at Disney and two at Universal, and now they're going to spend three at Universal and two or three at Disney. And that's less time that they would spend.
See, he's talking about historically, but there's a lot of different factors. Let's just say we're going back to, he's talking about the time whenever they opened Wizarding World and things like that, right? It didn't cost you a small fortune to go to Disney and actually stay there, or Universal for that matter. You didn't have all the extras that you had to buy once you were there, right? For instance, FastPass Plus was not really a thing just yet when it first opened. It came about not long after.
Mm-hmm.
And it was new at that point. So you didn't have that during that time period. So, of course, they didn't see any significance during those time periods. I mean, they don't have a real fair comparison, I guess.
Right. I don't think you can compare that time period with today either. This is post-COVID. Everything's different now than it was.
Well, that and even if you go all the way back to when Islands of Adventure opened, right? It was a different environment then. Like the Disney, there was no such thing, not too often. Like people that wanted to go to Disney went to Disney. People that wanted to go to Universal went to Universal. You didn't really see much crossover.
Yeah.
Now people will go to whatever it is they think's going to be the most, you know, the best experience they're getting.
Yeah.
And not to mention this new land is not, it's a little different, I think, than some of the ones they've done before, especially with the Nintendo, because it's not geared toward the audience that I was just talking about like they did in the past. In the past, a lot of the stuff they did was geared more to the teen type audience. And I don't think that's the case with Epic Universe. I think they have a very, very wide range of audience that they're appealing to with Epic.
Yeah. So I agree. I think the range is, they found a formula that appeals to a very broad range of age for sure.
And he's basing it on the early bookings for summer. I mean, obviously I can't see what that looks like, but if it's anything like what I would do, I mean, my original booking may not even stay there. I mean, there's probably a lot of people who book early. Yeah. Just to have something in place, they may not even go when it's all said and done.
And the fact that he's just said actually positive, it's like what we have for next summer is actually positive. I mean, that's very vague. That could mean one person book.
I don't know. Yeah.
I mean,
I have no doubt that they have bookings, don't get me wrong. And they probably have gotten bookings based on the idea that it's going to be slow.
Right.
Some people do that and they think, oh, it's going to be slow. And then all of a sudden that becomes a popular thing and then it's not slow anymore.
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, it's not going to be, it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. And then of course it'll taper off.
Right.
Everybody always tries to find the time when there's going to be fewer people there. And then of course that clogs up that particular time period.
Yeah.
It's a game.
They're definitely assuming that more people will be coming to the Orlando area, therefore they'll benefit from it.
Mm-hmm.
But
for whatever reason, when it comes to Disney, there is one thing that is constant and I can't figure out exactly why, but Labor Day will pretty much seemingly always be the slow holiday. I don't know what the overall reason is other than kids have just been back in school and such, but
Memorial Day has been pretty good too. The last few
The one time at this point that I've been to Universal was actually over Memorial Day weekend, and it wasn't that bad. It really wasn't. It wasn't what you would think.
I've gone Memorial Day the last few years, and it's been great. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not been too bad. So,
however, I do think that during that time period when I went was when Disney was doing that whole thing where the Magic Kingdom stayed open 24 hours.
Oh, man. Yeah. I haven't done that in a while.
Yeah. Well, there's with good reason.
Probably.
Yeah, that was not, I don't think that was necessarily a great idea when it was all said and done.
Maybe not.
I mean, some people did it because it was cool to do, but I don't think that was necessarily the best idea, especially employee-wise, we'll say. Yeah. All right. Well, I think we can put a nice tidy bow on this episode now, don't you think?
Indeed, sure.
On this epic episode.
Careful.
I'm actually looking forward to Epic Universe. I'm sorry. I just am.
Sure.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to go in the original dates that I had chosen now. And the reason being is because I was hit with a surprise that apparently we're having days that are blacked out at work that are around that time period.
Blackout.
So, yeah, I may have to end up changing that after all. You said I would, but I mean, this is for a different reason, obviously.
Well,
you said I would change some things,
but I didn't say what the reason would be. I just said you.
This
change.
Is true. Yes, this is true.
Barbosa. Exactly.
Okay. So that's going to wrap this one up. You can find us on all the usual suspects, that being at Facebook, at X, at Instagram. That is all at TWTM Podcast. We still have a Spreadshirt store in which you can get your exclusive TWTM merchandise at shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM Podcast. And we have a YouTube channel, which you can also find the episodes there if you would like to listen to them there, along with some other Disney resort and park videos. And where can you find that, Adam?
To our website, travelingwithemouse.com. You can email us podcast at travelingwithemouse.com. And you can find links to all that and more there.
So, for Adam, my name is John. This has been Traveling with the Mouse, and I hope you will join us on our next trip.
A Christmas tree sushi. Oh, yeah, that was good.
Christmas tree sushi.
Yeah, I was looking at Festival Holidays menus. There's a few good ones on there I'd forgotten about.
It's kind of hard to go through menus on the show unless you're just devoting it all to the menu, because there's so much to cover.
Right.